My name is Cassidy McCabe, your Hudson Mohawk Magazine correspondent for the Spirit of the Suffragette Summer Festival. And this week will be the second part of this three-part interview with Dr. Kyra Gaunt, an ethnomusicologist at the University at Albany. In this part, Dr. Gaunt shares with us her activist efforts over the past couple of years.
I feel like it's a silly question because you kind of answered it in the last one, but do you consider yourself an activist?
You know, sometimes I don't, but I definitely participate in activist struggles. I marched for about 7 hours in New York City after one of the after the Alton Sterling shooting during the Black Lives Matter movement. And I told myself the day before, I can't go. I've got work to do. It's the end of the summer session where I was teaching, and I don't want to miss a class because I already missed a class because I was out protesting. And summer sessions go by so quick. So I was like, I remember telling Sarah Sandman, who is the head of this big Brick by Brick project, I helped her kind of create. Sarah Sandman and I, she had this idea for the wall of misogyny of women standing against Trump trying to fight the election before he got elected. Oh, was that a devastating blow? I remember we were in our suits and everything watching on a big screen TV in our studio. But I didn't want to go. And I told Sarah, I have to teach. I'm not going. I'm just tired. I'm like, I have like oppression fatigue or whatever. You know, I was just like, And then I was like, I'm not even going to watch the video. This was of the man who was shot point blank in his car with his girlfriend next to him. Who died in the video. And I was just like, Nope.
That was horrific to see, yeah.
Yeah, and I was in my office and I just felt like, I don't know. I've been wanting my class to do this mantra from Assata Shakur. It is our duty to fight, right? It is our duty to win. It is our duty to fight for justice. And I thought, I have to watch it. And so I watched it and I was not expecting it. And I was like, class is canceled, going. Went to this protest, got there late. They had met at Union Square in Manhattan. And they were just starting to march. And they were going to march across 14th Street, up Fifth Avenue, across 34th Street, all the way to 11th, over up to 42nd and back to Times Square. So this is going to be a long walk. And it was a hot summer day. It was June, I think it was. And I realized the activists, like, there were not a lot of these protests that have been happening in the United States in the Black Lives Matter movement in major cities have been full of ad hoc people who have never protested before in their life. Not in a group, you know, and to be honest, I'd only done a little bit more, but I'm older than most of the people who were, you know, I'm 56 now. I was probably maybe 52. No. It was just 3 or 4 years ago now.
It feels forever 52, ago.
Right. It feels like forever ago. It does. So, I got there and one, people didn't know how to sing. So they were just like, what do we want? When do we want it now? What do we want? We don't want it now. What do we want? Justice. What do we want now? Well, you can only do that for so long. It's absolutely inane if you keep doing that for miles and miles and miles. So there were no process singers, and I had to train. So that was where I came in. I was like, yes, I can do this. This is the part I can play. So I was like, what do we want? Justice. When do we want it now? What do we want? Justice. When do we want it now? What do we want? Justice. When do we want it now? What? 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 No! That gets you through two blocks.
Yeah.
Right? But doing that other thing forever and ever, it's like, oh my God.
Eventually, I feel like that version, the version you did, would definitely like grab more attention than just like the blatant chanting. Eventually, you can drown that out.
And so people don't know. It's ironic where we're sitting in Albany. Mm-hmm. But that tradition began in the Albany singing movement in Albany. It's called Albany, Georgia. The lead singer and the founder of Sweet Honey and the Rock, Bernice Johnson Regan, started this tradition as one of the SNCC singers, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee singers, in the late 1950s, and it's a song leader tradition, like this tradition out of the civil rights movement. People went to the Highlander camp to learn how to move crowds, you know, just like an MC learns how to move a crowd with certain things, like all the ladies in the house say, ho, ho, you know, like, so there was a whole tradition of what you would do to get people ready to face the hoses and the dogs. And they were kids. Those were college students, but even the big images that we know of the civil rights movement was really from the Children's Brigade of kids leaving school one day in Birmingham, Alabama, and going to protest. Not unlike these protests after the, you know, the gun violence that mm-hmm. we've seen in the last few years of children, young, I call young people mm-hmm. instead of children. Like sometimes we belittle children because we don't give children any rights. They're young people. Mm. There's older people and young people, and we all have the same rights to protest. And so I remember that day. I did not have the right shoes on. Oh, my feet hurt for 3 days from 7 hours of protesting. The things that I've been involved with offline and online. So I'm definitely a digital activist. I've helped people get out of really horrible situations by using my, I was nominated for a Twitter award called the Shorty Award in 2011 because I was able to galvanize people around certain kind of social justice issues. I had a friend who was about to be deported, and I was able to get 30 people in 4 different continents to donate some money that he needed in order to, some people actually, ICE will actually give you a fine mm-hmm. that you need to pay so that you won't be deported, which I'd never heard of before. And he was missing the last, he said, I can't even tell you how much money it is, but the last $2,000 I can't make. I'm going to be deported in 3 days. And I was like, I can help you do that. And it was people I did not know from South America and Europe and other countries, as well as the United States, who helped us raise that money in about 24 hours. I also see myself as a knowledge activist by having my students and I edit Wikipedia. Right now, we're using a Black feminist standpoint to talk about the women who are omitted from the history of hip-hop, how gender impacts the representations of women in hip-hop, and how misogyny and patriarchy do. And so my students are kind of updating and improving Wikipedia, which is 80% white male editors. So mm-hmm. for a class that has a significant population of people of color in it, I call that knowledge activism. So I'm an activist, but I'm an unconventional activist. And I'm definitely a feminist activist. Even though in the beginning I wouldn't have called myself that, I really wanted to stay away from the F word. Mm-hmm. I called myself a gender scholar for a long time. And I remember making a first wave feminist extremely upset with me mm-hmm. that I refused to claim the banner of feminist. But there's no doubt that I would claim that feminist banner now. And it's ironic. I think it's ironic because I'm not a Beyoncé fan, but she has played a role in my realizing the power of claiming that badge for both people my age and people younger. I don't think my mother would claim the badge, but my mother's definitely a feminist, whether she likes it or not. Yeah, so yeah, I am an activist.
Thank you.
Be sure to tune in next week for the third part of my interview with Dr. Kyra Gaunt. Thank you for tuning in to this week's piece on the spirit of the suffragettes.